Well, I sincerely appreciate your prayers this morning. The Lord would help us with the burden that we have on our heart. I'd like to turn to a story in the 18th chapter of 1 Kings. 1 Kings, Old Testament, 18th chapter. Probably just going to read the 21st verse, but we're going to talk about the setting here. The setting is there's been a drought, I believe, long time, and the king was looking for Elijah because Elijah the prophet was the one he felt that was responsible for this. And when he came in contact with Elijah, Elijah said, I'd like for you to gather all the prophets of Baal, and we're going to go to Mount Carmel, I believe, is where they went. 20th verse says, so Ahab sent all unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And so they got there to Mount Carmel, and it's a familiar story if you've read much of the Old Testament or read Bible stories. This is where the fire came down from heaven and burn up the sacrifice, burn up the wood, burn up the stones, burn up the water. But the sacrifice that the prophets of Baal prepared, nothing happened. So the conditions were that they would both have an opportunity to, the prophets of Baal would, had their opportunity to prepare the sacrifice, the bullock, I believe, and entreat Baal to answer by fire. No pyrotechnics, no special effects, nothing. Just answer by fire and consume that sacrifice. And then Elijah had the same opportunity to entreat the God of heaven to answer by fire. And the end result, we know the end result of that story, was that the God of heaven is the one that answered. And Ahab, or not Ahab, but Elijah took this to an extreme. He not only repaired an altar that had been used in years past. He took the stones of previous generations. Maybe Moses was involved. Maybe Joshua was involved. I don't know. But the stones that had been used from previous generations, he took and reassembled that altar. Then he prepared the wood, then he prepared the sacrifice, and he dug a trench around it, and I've often wondered, where did he get so much water at a time when they were going to the ends of the extremes to find water and grass for their creature, for their animals, their livestock. But they poured barrels, it says, of water on this sacrifice. Not only was this meat raw, it was not cooked meat, but even if he had put dry wood on the altar, it wasn't dry when Elijah got done with it, and the ground was wet, And it wasn't just, these are stones that had been laid there for a long time. And imagine all, I'm trying to build up to, I want us to get the picture of how dramatic this answer was. So it says not only was the sacrifice and the wood consumed, but the rocks were consumed and the water. I believe that there was just a charred place there after this fire. This was an intense heat. You don't get intense heat with a little bit of wood laying on top of, I don't know how much wood was there. If it was a rick of firewood, dry, seasoned, hedged, oak, something that would have made a hot fire to burn a sacrifice. Now it's wet, and you don't get the kind of heat that it takes. Maybe there was enough wood there to burn the sacrifice if you'd had the right fire starting device. But there wasn't enough wood there to consume the rocks. You think about it. Those of us that's been around the aftermath of a hot fire, maybe some piece of machinery caught on fire or oil tank or something like that, and there's some rocks, and they get hot enough, they kind of start crumbling, don't they? A big rock turns into two or three little rocks, but it says these rocks were consumed. Hot, hot fire. There was no question that the God of Elijah responded. And the God of Baal, they still had a dead cow on some wood laying over there. Theirs were still there. You could have maybe cooked it for supper and it's still been good. Or breakfast, had steak and eggs the next morning. But I just want us to get how thorough God's answer was compared to Baal. And how does a group of people like the Israelites here in this setting, how do they get to the place that they would openly offer a sacrifice and anticipate Baal answering like this? How do you get there? Well, I could ask the same question on more current events in our world today. When I was a young child going to school, if somebody would have said, no, let's back up a little bit further than that. Let's back up to the year 1930. And it's not significant other than it's relative to me. 1930 was the year my dad was born. 1930 was the year that my grandfather divorced my grandmother before my dad was born. That was a dramatic event, wasn't it? 1930, you think about that. It was such an emotional event in 1930 that my grandmother's nerves were shot. She went back to live with her parents. She had three older children and one on the way. She was not socially accepted, right? It's terrible. How do we get in less than 100 years, but it's taken almost 100 years. Now, how many times do we run into those that are doing something absurd, whether it's morally or otherwise in our world, divorcing somebody, your spouse, is like, yeah, that happens. Isn't that how we look at it today? It's impacted us. it doesn't make it any right, more right than it did then, but it impacts us. Yeah, it just happens sometimes. That's how we look at it. In 1930, it was what? How could a man do that? I saw that man one time that I remember in my life, and he didn't even invite me in the house. That was my grandpa. Today, we cope with it however we can, because it's pretty normal. When I was in school, this whole social acceptance that we have today of people that have alternative lifestyles was not there when I was in school. And yes, I've been out of school for over 40 years, but when I was it would have been over 50 years when I was in grade school, and I can remember in grade school the crude jokes that the other boys had on the playground about people that did things that were inappropriate. 50 years. Look at where we got today. Did you know you're the one that's the bad guy if you say, that's wrong? You're the bad guy, not them. You're the bad guy. So how long did it take for the Israelite people, the people that God had delivered out of Egypt, taken through the Red Sea, crossed the Jordan River, give them water out of a rock, fed them with manna? How did they get to the point that they're willing to out in public to build an altar to an idol? That's who Baal is. To build an altar to idol and expect Baal, this manufactured man-made god, to answer by fire. It took a long time, but they got there. They got there. But I want us to think not only about how long it took them to get there, or how long or how dramatic the God of heaven responded when Elijah asked for him to demonstrate that he was the true God. I want us to think sometimes, I want us to think about the decision point that Elijah was trying to force. He was trying to engineer a pivotal decision point. He was trying to get the people to come to the place that they was willing to recognize how far they had got off track. Now, if we had a campaign and let it advertise that we were going to get the city of Joplin and all the surrounding area together, and we wanted people to make a decision in Jasper County, and maybe Newton County and Barton County, about whether they were going to serve God or they was going to be led around with a hook in their nose about all of the corruption that's in our society today. What you going to do? We could probably get some attention for that. And they had a lot of people there that day. It says in the 20th verse, so Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. So it had the majority of the Israelite people and these prophets. There was 400 of one group and 450 of another. And in the 21st verse, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. And if Baal be God, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. If we got two or three counties worth of people together here, and we said, you know, we need to make a decision. Are we going to really follow God, or are we not? What's our decision today? You know, these people, for some reason, were trying to carry on the tradition of being Israelites, and yet in their personal lives and because of social pressure, they were lifting up Baal. It wasn't that they didn't know who God was and they didn't know who they were. They knew they were descendants of Abraham. They knew they were, this was before they were carried off captives by the Assyrians. They knew who they were. They knew the stories. They might have had to clean some cobwebs out of them, but they knew the stories about coming out of Egypt and crossing the Red Sea and the Jordan River. But worshiping Baal offered something that worshiping God didn't. In worshiping the world today and the things that are in the world offers something that worshiping God doesn't. What is that? It allows us to fulfill appetites of the flesh. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, you name it, it's out there. We can do it. And we can bow down before it. The Israelites were. They got all the way to the place that they were willing to allow this thing to be on demonstration and actually come to this kind of confrontation. And Elijah said, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? How long are you going to be in the decision-making process? You know, I've halted at decisions. I halted for quite a while before asking Anita to marry me. My parents didn't take them that long to go from courting, beginning a courtship, until they were married. It was 9 months before we became engaged. I played it safe. And then she halted about giving me a decision. So I guess she was playing it safe. But you know, we can halt. And during that halt, it's time to think about, that's the time we've got to make that commitment. Is this really the decision that I want to make? Is this really what I want? You know, I've halted on other things in my life. Maybe buying a piece of property. And later decided that I shouldn't have halted. I've halted about making purchases. Could be an automobile. Sometimes I look back in retrospect and say, you know, I'm glad I just went ahead and halted. There's been times that my want for something has exceeded what I should do. And that halt is not a time to look back on after the decision point was made. It's not a time to look back on and just look on it with incrimination. It's a time to look back and consider, did I make the decision from the right reason points? Okay? Stay with me here this morning. Because there's times we look back and wish that we hadn't halted as long because opportunity passed us. But if that is the case, then I want us to stop and think about, why did we halt? And why did we make the decision that we made? It's important for us, in my mind, and for my topic this morning, it's important for us to consider, why was I halting? Was I counting my money? You know, it's important to count your money if you're fixing to make a purchase. And there's people out there in the sales business that they're putting pressure on you. We can make it happen. You don't have the cash. We've got finance. There's financing options. And they got all kinds of options. It's funny how they want to finance, but they still want money down. Right? They want a down payment. Well, if you're really so excited about financing, just finance the whole thing. But I'm just trying to be funny there. But, you know, it's time. What are we doing when we're halting? It takes courage to go ahead and make a dramatic decision. It took courage for me. I'm just personal experience. It took courage for me to ask her to be my wife. It took courage from her to say, yes, I'm willing to be your wife. It was more than an emotional gush, I will tell you. I don't know what I was really expecting. Maybe I didn't sweep her off her feet is good enough. I don't know. But I've heard of those situations where when the young man asked, she said, oh, yes, I've just been waiting for you to ask me the question. That didn't happen that way with me. And Elijah said to these people, how long halt ye? I know this is a dramatic shift in lifestyle. Because if you really believe that Baal is God, then just keep on doing what you're doing. But if you really believe and you want, if I can convince you that God of heaven is God, then you need to get rid of all of this Baal effect. Is it any different today? We live our life accumulating the Baal effect. We're picking up this trait and this habit and that habit and this vice and that vice and just all kinds of clutter and contamination in our soul and our spirit. And some things we don't even know that's dirty that we got. You know, most people with B.O. don't know they have B.O. Right? And if I stink, somebody send me a message somehow because I don't know it. I think I smell all right. But that's the way it is spiritually. We pick up odors of the world. If we're not careful, we'll start. You know, I could. When I'm at work, nothing smells bad. All right? But when I go home and I'm at home and then go back into the shop and I open the door, it's like, that's what my wife notices when she comes over here. But I work there all day long, and it don't smell bad to me. I'm acclimated to it. And these people had acclimated themselves to Baalism to the point it didn't smell bad to them. And Elijah was saying to them, if I can prove to you that this is false by demonstrating the God that answers by fire, then you need to make some abrupt changes. But you're halting right now, and I want you to be equipped to make a good decision. And I want us, as a little body of people here this morning, to be equipped to make a good decision. And you may have some Baalism, if you will, from the world that's still lingering and still hanging on in your life. And if it is, if God is really God and He really wants to make a change in your life, then the Lord, I want the Lord to, I want you to think about it when you're halting. And it's an important decision. Do I put all of my eggs in this basket, or do I try to be what's the financial term, diversified in my investment? Am I diversified in my spiritual investments, or am I putting all my eggs in one basket? You know, if a person, I've done some research here a while back, and I could be wrong on my numbers a little bit, but I guess Google it and find out. But if a person had bought one stock in Walmart when they first became available in the 70s and never sold it and went through all of the splits and all of the things that had happened, that $12 or $16 or whatever it was in 1970-something would today be worth, I don't remember how many stocks you would have now, but a lot, because of how many times the stock split, and it'd be worth something like $760,000. Now, if you knew that, some of us that was alive in the 70s, and I could have afforded $12 or $15 back in the 70s. I could have come up with it. What? You know, just doing the math there, if I'd have done $150 instead of $15, that'd be $7 million. I wouldn't be going to work Monday if I had $7 million. Would you? You know, I don't even know that I ever halted. That wasn't even on my horizon to halt about. But Elijah came and presented this halt for the people. And he said, I want you to stop and think about it, where you're at and the direction you're going. And I want you to halt just a moment. He says, how long halt ye between two opinions? While you're halting, I want to tell you that if Baal is God, then just keep on doing it. But if God be the God, then you need to do something about your Baalism. And today, if we're really, I want to tell you how it's going to end, all right? I couldn't have told you in 1975 or whatever year it was how Walmart was going to turn out. And I don't know how it's going to end. I'm not telling you to go buy Walmart stock today, because I don't know. But there is one thing I do know, that if we invest in the Lord wholly and completely, the end is everlasting life. I know that for a fact. I can tell you, I've read the end of the book, and we win. I know where this is going. And if you invest in Baalism, the things that's around us that no matter how customary it is, we know deep down it's wrong. And we put up with it. We tolerate stuff today that we wouldn't have tolerated 50 years ago. Am I wrong? Let me ask you a question. Do you think that if you had a piece of rental property and somebody come to rent your house, do you think that you would be limiting your potential renters if you had a specific category that you said, well, I can't rent to you because whatever, you have a moral violation in your life? You think that would impact you more today than it did in 1971? Yeah, it would. Because you're going to get a percentage of people that show up that have something going on in their life that you wouldn't do. I wouldn't do. Now what are we going to do? Baalism affects us all. But I'm going to tell you, if we invest in the Lord, 100%, don't need to diversify and keep a little bit in the world. Give your whole heart to God. Because He's the only one that can answer by fire. He's the only one that's got a heaven to take us to. He's the only one that's going to be there for us through the thick and the thin. You know, He said, I'll read this verse again, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered not a word. Why didn't they answer a word? They didn't know what to do. Do you know what to do? Sometimes we don't, do we? Sometimes we come to the decision and, I don't know, I'd really like to have whatever, a new table saw. Well, I got an old one, and yeah, it will cut a board, but the new one has these features that the old one don't have, and I don't know what to do. We can be in that situation. But the decision I want us to get a hold of this morning is not the one about a table saw. Not the one about some other temporal affair that we might be fixing to engage in. But I want us to think about, are we halting over which way to go, to lean towards Baalism or to just embrace the Lord wholeheartedly? Which are you halting there? Because I'm going to tell you how it's going to end up. If you think that Baal just might be God, you know, the world is powerful, is it not? You might get, what do they call it today? If you don't embrace the world, you might get canceled. Is that a right terminology? They have something out there they call cancel culture. I don't know if it could impact me or not. I'm just serious. I don't know. Probably not. I'm not big enough fish in the pond. But cancel culture is a real thing in our world today. And celebrities cringe at the power of cancel culture. Baal had a lot of power. They had the idol worshipers here on this day. If I got my math right, they had about 850 present to one on Elijah's side. And Elijah was the one posing the halt. And I know there's a lot of things that are bidding for our attention, even this morning. And I'm one person. And I'm asking you to halt this morning and think about where it's going to take us. Elijah said, how long halt ye between two opinions? How long am I going to stand here and say nothing? These people didn't have an answer, did they? They just sat there. They didn't know what to say. And maybe, have you ever been in a crowd and been afraid to say, hey, hold on a minute. What are y'all talking about? We don't typically do that, do we? I mean, maybe a few of you do, but I'm one of those. If I'm in a crowd and it's like, I don't know this guy standing next to me here, and I don't know the other person. I don't know who the people are around me. And if somebody can be up there and saying, if y'all would just drink a little bit of gasoline, it would clean out your system. And I'm looking around at everybody else, and I'm probably not the first person. Well, I might be in that situation, but I'm just not the person that wants to say, whoa, hold on a minute here. I don't agree with that. Because we don't know what the person right next to me might say, might just take me down or something. I don't know. I mean, there's apprehensions, there's fears. I think that's what was happening in the crowd. I think that they were standing there, and the reason nobody said anything is because they didn't know what the other person was really thinking. Well, what if I kind of believe what Elijah said is right, but I don't know about these two guys here. You know, they might think that Baal is God, and they might poke me with their spear or something if I said, no, it's I'm on Elijah's side. We're intimidated, all of us, to some extent. We're all intimidated by our surroundings, every one of us. I'm included in that. And Elijah said, if Baal's God, then serve him. But if God is really God, then let's follow him. Well, we've used up most all of our time. So let's conclude something. We know what happened, don't we? They set it up. God burned it all up. We talked about that. The end result was at the moment where it was no longer debatable. It's going to be no longer debatable when Jesus comes again. It's not going to be debatable then. You're not going to be wondering, well, I don't know. I mean, you know, Baal has a lot of things to offer me. You know, I can do this and this and this, and, you know, people like me to do that, and it helps my budget and my bank and account and all of that if I do this. And, well, you know, I don't know. I'm halting. But when Jesus comes back, all that's going to disappear. And right at the time that God answered by fire, you know what Elijah did? He capitalized on all of that. And he said, gather up all of those false prophets. And they took them out. Now you would have thought that after a demonstration like this is like crossing the Red Sea, isn't it? This is like crossing the Jordan River. This is like getting water out of the rock. This is like all of those stories that they heard years ago of their ancestors and how God had delivered them. You'd have think Israel would have turned around and it'd been a different story. But you know, it wasn't long. And they were carried off captive by foreign idolatrous working people. You know why? They didn't individually make that commitment. Elijah was trying to cause them to halt long enough that they could make an individual decision. I want us this morning to be able to make an individual decision, and it's going to impact everybody in this. Your decision will impact everybody in this room. I make a decision of whether or not to try to be prepared for this service, and it impacts everybody. And not just because I stand up here. Your decision to be prepared, to be in the service, and be a contributing part of the service, whether you're sharing how the Lord has delivered you something from something and you're determined to never go back, whether you lead out in prayer, whatever it is, your willingness to be prepared impacts the whole. Every one of us. And he was causing these people to halt to see if they would make an individual decision. They couldn't deny who was God that day. But unfortunately, there wasn't enough of them. You know, I think there was probably a little nucleus of people that said, we got to get rid of this Baal thing. Everywhere we see it cropping up, we got to cut it down. It's like a bad case of thistles in the pasture. It's a bad case of Jimson weed. It's a bad case of something in our garden that we don't want. It's a bad case of cutworms on the tomatoes. We got to get rid of this thing. There were some of them that did that. But they didn't. Wasn't enough of them. There wasn't enough of them. And the reason we know that is because of just a few years later, they were all carried off into captivity. I'm not trying to tell us we're fixing to get carried off. I want us to halt this morning just a little bit. Who are we going to serve? Is God really God? I believe He is. I believe He's worth putting all of my spiritual assets in one basket. I believe that when the roll is called up yonder, I want to be there individually. I want all of y'all there too. I want the folks that's not here this morning, I want them to go too. I'd like to put Baal out of business. And you know, Elijah thought he did. He did do a lot of good. Elijah thought he had turned the tide. But there was a wicked woman named Jezebel that threatened him. You remember that? You keep reading. You'll see. Jezebel said, I'll have your hide. You killed my prophets. She was not the least bit moved. She was just as wicked after this halt as she was before. She said, I'll have your hide if you're not. You'll be as dead as those prophets were. And like any man would think, boy, I got to get away from this one. I wished Elijah would have said, come and get me. God's going to most likely strike you dead before you can get here. But just come on. I wished he'd have said something like that, but he didn't do that. He turned and run. Lord, help us to have courage to stand. We're going to have many opportunities to halt in life. Not really how I thought I'd end this morning, but seems like that's how the Lord's taken it. I want us to halt. Whose side am I on? Am I stomping out Baal every place I can get my foot on? Or am I letting it sprout and grow? You know how you kill most weeds most effectively? Is don't let them go to seed. They'll die out. There's so many weed seeds in my garden that it would be a never-ending task. There's so many weed seeds in this world that we're going to be busy the rest of our life cutting weed seeds off. But just think of it this way. Every time you cut that weed seed off, when it starts to head out and go to seed, every time you chop that off and throw it in the fire, you've prevented evil from spreading just a little bit more. We got to wage war on Baal today. No, it's not Baal proper like it was back then. There's no idol set up where people circulate around, at least not in Southwest Missouri that I know of. But Baalism is alive and well. And we have to pause sometimes and halt. Which way am I going to go? Am I going to allow Baal to continue to rule in my life and continue to impact and influence and dictate to me? Or am I going to cut it off at the knees? Lord, help us to be willing to cut him off. You pray for me.